In progress.
Ready on the left?
Yes.
Ready on the right?
Ready.
All right, let's say who? Yeah, I know, you're all by yourself. All right, we're going to call this Madras City Council meeting to order at 6:28. Can I have a roll call, please?
Councillor Walker.
Present.
Councillor Yoder.
Present.
Councillor Solis is excused. Councillor Spencer is excused. Councillor Siebold?
Here.
Councillor Townsend is excused. And Mayor Lapine?
Thank you. We barely have a quorum tonight. Yes. So, gentlemen, please do not make a... Oh, there won't be a tie vote. Oh, darn it. I'm in the hot seat tonight. Is there any public comments today in the...
That's all it takes. I got it. I probably don't even need to sit down. It won't take that much time. I'd like to introduce myself. My name is Seth Taylor. I'm running for county commissioner. My wife and I, Debbie, we moved here in 2005. We have three wonderful kids that were all born and we're raising here in our county. I really appreciate what you guys do here. I know it takes a lot. I've been on the Culver School Board since before COVID hit. I've volunteered for many different aspects throughout our community. I'm chairman of the Juniper Butte Road District, so I know what it's like to take time out of your lives to come do your civic duty like this, so I appreciate it. Thank you. I'm running on several different issues. The issue that I'd like to bring up tonight is I think that we need to really have a strong look at our economic development as a county and our infrastructure development as a county. I think that we don't need to be growing to the size of Bend or Redmond, but we definitely need some higher wage jobs being brought into our county for our existing residents. And I'd like everybody to, if you can, I've been posting different things on Facebook. Feel free to visit Seth Taylor on Facebook and take a look at some of the ideas that I have, ranging from homelessness to water for farmers. I've worked for Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife for 17 years. I have a unique skill set being brought to be able to tackle the issue that the farmers are struggling with right now, their water. And I think that I have some very creative ideas to come up with some solutions for that. So thank you very much. I appreciate your time tonight. And that is all. And if you guys would love to ask me any questions, I'll be available after the meeting. Thank you.
Well, it's interesting. During chamber board meetings, Debbie always refers to her four kids, not her three. I'll have to ask about that later. Sorry, Debbie. Anybody else in the audience here for a public comment?
Hi, again. I'm going to deliver 3 minutes of remarks about an event coming up Memorial Day weekend that I got involved with. My name is Les Widener. I live at 197 Southeast Larkspur here in Dallas. I'm here this evening to announce a local event to be held over the coming Memorial Day weekend in support of the Rockin' Easy Rescue Ranch and all the animals they've been caring for at the Jefferson County Animal Shelter on McTaggart Road. The event will be called Pause for the Cause. Get it? P-A-W-S. The primary goal is to draw as much traffic off of Highway 97 and onto the Madras Grocery Outlet parking lot, where people will be invited to adopt a dog. As you're probably aware, Rockin' Easy's contract for managing the shelter will end this coming June 30th. So the adoption event is simply being planned with the primary goal of finding homes for the animals housed at the shelter as of that weekend, so that Rockin' Easy may return the shelter to Jefferson County with as few animals as possible. However, currently there are 95 dogs and 8 cats. So it's going to be
95
dogs and 8 cats. Rock and Easy staff will erect tents and have dogs brought in over this four-day event. Information also will be available on cat adoption opportunities. A related goal of the event is to raise funds in support of Rock and Easy's spay, neuter, and vaccination clinic. Remember, Rock and Easy is a nonprofit with an unpaid board and director who will continue to operate in Madras at 84 Southwest K Street, the old Habitat for Humanity building. Veterinarians from Madras Animal Hospital perform 90% of all spaying and neutering services there. The cost is discounted, but the current amount averages $4,000 to $6,000 a month. Felix Durfee, animal lover and manager of our Madras grocery outlet, originally came up with the idea for the event, and grocery outlet manager John Weiss enthusiastically agreed for it to be held in their parking lot. A committee of passionate animal lovers for the community has been formed, including Rock and Easy director Cindy Fisher, treasurer Jan Forrester, Felix, me, and a few others. Therefore, beyond my announcement of this event, I wish to invite, I thought the city of Madras had a canine unit. I just found out they don't. But I'll get with Jason and invite him to bring his unit, as well as maybe the fire department. And we're also inviting other local veterinarians, groomers, trainers to be part of it. So our community welcomes the city's participation and any ideas from council or staff that would help boost donations as well as build awareness. And that's it. Thank you for your attention.
Sergeant Webb, don't you have a dog that, I know it's not canine, but you have, don't you have a dog that went through that program that Duke from the Sheriff's Office was in? Yeah, would that count?
Sure, yeah, anything.
Bring your dogs there, Sergeant.
Raise awareness. Yep. Okay, thank you.
Get some showtime. The fire department also, there's on B-Shift, there's someone there that has a therapy dog there that quite frequently has made public appearances. So I would check with Chief Blake over there and see if you can get someone from B-Shift there. Okay.
All right, thanks. Thank you very much.
Admire your passion, Les. Thank you. Can we push that on our Madras social media? Is that okay?
Yes, we can.
Okay, let's do that.
Anybody else in the audience on for public comment? How about on Zoom? All you see are people over in the coast having a good time. Okay. Right? Keep waiting to see if Will's going to make the mistake and lift his, you know, Mai Tai up past the camera. So, see, Nick's a pro at this. He knows not to do that. Okay, Nick, you're safe. Okay. Any amendments to the current agenda? None? Okay. Can you entertain a motion for the consent agenda? The consent agenda.
I move that we approve the consent agenda as submitted.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the consent agenda? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous. A little slow there, Mike. I know, you're doing it. You're doing it. All right. Public hearing. First public hearing of City of Madras withdrawal of approximately 40 acres, plus or minus from the city limits as lands exchange with approximately 40 acres, plus or minus annex under planning file number AX23-2 and PA-23-1. This time we'll open the hearing at 6:37. This time, does any councilor have any actual economic conflict of interest to disclose? None? Okay, staff report. Fama?
Thank you, Chair. Just a little bit of history about the project or the proposal. On March 12, the council has approved a resolution initiating the intent to withdraw a territory from the city limit of approximately 40 acres, plus or minus, as an exchange land. and direct the staff to prepare the ordinance. Before we bring the ordinance to you, ORS 2022-460 needs to be met, which one of the requirements is that we hold two public hearings. This is the first public hearing of two. Following the public hearing, there will be a separate agenda item where you would consider an order establishing time, date, and location of the second and the final hearing. It will also affirm that an election shall not be held on the question of withdrawing the territory from city limit. With that, I'm happy to take any questions either to me or to Nick.
I think we already agreed to this, so this is pretty straightforward.
Okay, I'll open this up for public testimony. Anybody in the audience wish to make a comment? None? Any other comments from staff?
No comments.
Then any deliberation? I don't think we're going to hear any. In that case, we'll close this hearing at 6:39. Thank you, Fatma. Next is visitor presentation. The first is the Child Abuse Proclamation. Proclamation Child Abuse Prevention Month for April 2024. Whereas there were over 5,062 reports of child abuse and neglect in Central Oregon last year, and whereas we all have a responsibility as individuals, neighbors, community members, and citizens of Madras to help create a healthy, safe, nurturing experience for our children, and whereas safe and healthy childhood help produce confident and successful adults, and whereas child abuse and neglect often occur when people find themselves in a stressful situation without community resources and don't know how to cope, and whereas the majority of child abuse and neglect cases stem from situations and conditions that are preventable with the support of an engaged community, and whereas child abuse and neglect can be reduced by making sure that families have the support and access to services they need to raise their children in a healthy environment, and whereas child abuse and neglect not only directly harm children, but the trauma can also increase the likelihood of criminal behavior, substance abuse, health problems such as heart disease and obesity, and poor academic outcomes. And whereas effective prevention programs succeed because the partnerships among agencies, schools, faith communities, philanthropic and civic organizations, law enforcement agencies, and business community. Now, therefore, I, Mike Lapine, Mayor of Madras, Oregon, do hereby declare April 2024 as Child Abuse Prevention Month of Madras, Oregon, and ask each resident to join me in raising awareness and providing support to families to ensure they have what they need and deserve to raise their children in a safe and healthy environment.
Up here for this with the mayor, I do want to thank you. Know for the last 12 years I've done child abuse investigations, and I want to thank each one of you guys over the last bit of time that you've been on this council for your support and for your willingness to make the hard calls at times and to make the reports. And mayor, just because I know what you do in your full-time profession, and just thank you for that, and what you do with me.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you. Good job.
I know what side to hug, so I'm usually safe from that taser. Okay. Chamber directly monthly update. She's going to explain how many kids she has.
Good evening, Debbie Taylor, Executive Director for the Madras Jefferson County Chamber of Commerce. Just want to follow up on the proclamation that you did have. We will have banners at the north and south way, the north and south Y, that will be displayed throughout the month. So do look for those that will be up as soon as he gets me those. So I wanted to follow up with that. So I wanted to give you an update. First topic would be tourism. I had the opportunity March 11th through the 13th to attend the Oregon Governor's Conference on Tourism in Salem. I am your DMO. That is your Destination Management Organization. Got that? DMO. That's a new acronym you're going to have to remember. This was a great opportunity for me to strengthen some of those local and regional contacts, including with Travel Oregon, meeting those that are more than just visit Central Oregon or Travel Oregon here in Central Oregon, but to strengthen some of those relationships for them, as well as with the Madras and the Prineville Chambers in that experience. It was a great opportunity to also learn more about AI, as we are all hearing about AI and how that can play a role into some of the content that we are pushing out. Got some insight on social media. It was the same day when news hit about TikTok, so we were pivoting, listening to presentations about all of that and how we can use and leverage social media. And then we had a great opportunity to see what a full-blown tourist experience is when we went to Mount Angel's Oktoberfest. So that was a great opportunity, and I hope to attend every year to be able to get a little bit more insight for us to further be in a DMO. Along the lines of tourism, also want to make you aware, if you don't know and have seen some RVs or camp trailers parked in the parking lot of the chamber, we are part of harvesthosts.com. It is a membership-based organization where people can get on and look for local areas to dry camp overnight, or maybe there are some amenities. Ours is dry camp, so please don't send anyone over to knock on their doors for overnight camping. If they are there, they have permission to be there. So that's a great opportunity. We've had three people just in the last month. Some of them had called and to reserve the day of, or had sent the email the day of, and so that's been a great opportunity, and I do have more that are booked. That is now listed on our website as well, so you can take a look at that information. Last month, I gave you an update about the finances and getting all of that situated. Want to let you know that we are diversifying our revenue. Will made sure I got that in there. We are rolling out new tiered membership levels. That should be on the website by next week. It is a very involved process, as you can understand, the integration of your membership portal and being able to get the payments and everything correct. So I will be sitting with someone in Redmond tomorrow at the Redmond Chamber to make sure that that's all done correctly. So to understand the scope of that, we went from memberships being $80 to $385, and now we are going to be at five-tiered membership levels from $100 to $2,500 with a lot of added benefits. That is an annual membership, but a lot of added benefits to anyone who would like to pay into the chamber for a membership.
Can I ask you a question about that? Not to interrupt, but what has been the reception from the businesses about that? Are they seeing value and happy with this, or have you gotten any pushback?
It hasn't been presented yet. I'd hoped to have sent that out, but I have been giving information out that there is added benefits coming. Our community survey that we had, there was a lot of feedback in it of, what do I get for my membership? I don't see the value. Why am I paying in this much? And so what we have done is added another level of benefit. So, for example, at the platinum level for $2,500, you're obviously going to be listed as a platinum sponsor with a banner. You'll be in the publication. You do get the opportunity to have a free part of your membership, full page ad in the membership guide, visitors guide that we do push out, as well as a table at the chamber banquet. So that's an example there. So it's going to go platinum, gold, silver, bronze, and individual. So just giving that opportunity to diversify the revenue so that people are seeing the value, and they hopefully you're seeing and hearing that just as I am right now. So I haven't got a whole lot of pushback because I haven't rolled it all out, but I think people are going to see the value.
Hey, I think it makes a lot of sense. I like it. So good luck on that. I think it's a great idea.
Thank you. Appreciate that. We are continuing our Friday morning coffee cuppers. There isn't one this week. Next week, we will be at the fairgrounds for WAC 9 training. Business after hours is the third Thursday, so we will be with Jefferson County Fire and EMS on the 25th. So do look for that information, which leads into the website. If you have not taken a look at the website, I have taken a stab at the website and trying to save us some thousands of dollars. Website pictures are getting updated. Content is getting updated there as well. So do take a look at that. I had been asked, and it was already in place, to be the community calendar. It is. So you go on to madraschamber.com, look at event calendar, and we are getting that information so that we aren't having a situation like coming up where there are two banquets on one night. So we're wanting to make sure that if people are looking to plan an event, that information is housed at the chamber as it should be, so that we are the hub of the information and events and all of that. So take a look at that. I do have a temporary office assistant who is doing an amazing work, and together we're getting the chamber leveled up, including your emails. Apparently, we're never subscribed to any newsletter, so hopefully you've seen that land in your inbox tonight, that you are now going to get some subscriptions. So apologize for that. We had 865 contacts, but only 304 people were getting those. And so between myself and my temporary office assistant, we have got that down. We're still editing 838. So we're getting down there. I have a couple hundred more that we need to go through, but just know that you should be getting those emails that coming out. We have slated the candidate forums. That information was pushed out today. So April 15th is going to be in Crooked River Ranch at 6:30. That will be at Ranch Chapel, as well as April 29th will be at the Performing Arts Center. Both of those are from 6:30 until 8 o'clock-ish. Jane Ellen Innes, our director for the Jefferson County Public Library, is going to be the moderator for that. I have done the back-end organization of that, and I have recused myself because of the candidate that you heard from earlier. So just know I've done the back-end of it for the insurance and the facilities, but I will be there as a supporting role, not as a chamber role for that. So it will also be pushed out on Facebook, so you'll see that live if you would like to reach out to that avenue to see that video. We're still working on some capital improvements. Energy Trust of Oregon, I did have lighting that is in process to get that changed out. And then I've also met, since I came last month, with HVAC and had an engineer on the roof. So we are looking at some improvements for an HVAC unit so that it doesn't feel like it's Hawaii in there quite frequently. So just know that those are coming. Also, we are now, with the membership levels coming out, we're also working on the Madras Jefferson County Chamber Directory and Visitor Guide. The Madras Pioneer is working with us on that. So at this point, we're going to put people in there, get ads going, and that should get pushed out here very shortly in the next couple of months. So you'll get some ad space if you are at a specific membership level, where it's a full page, half page, or a sixth of a page. So I'm doing all the things. Do you have any questions?
Debbie, I just wanted to ask if on the community calendar, if we can have this very lively city council meetings added for the second and fourth Tuesday of every month.
We will look at that. We're trying to filter how many consistent reoccurring events do we keep on the calendar versus it's at your website.
Perfect.
But if it's only the second and fourth, I think I can arm wrestle you for it. So, yes. Any other? I have three teenagers, just so you know, and one husband.
Okay. Good call.
We good? All right. As always, you can always reach out to me if you do have questions, and I will be making sure that every commissioner is listed and public servant who would like to have the emails will make sure that that gets done. So, all right. Thank you.
Thank you. Number three presentation. Oh, wrong one. Scott, or COCC expansion project. Sorry, Jeremy. Yeah, I made you look. It's going to be weird to be at a city council meeting talking to Jerry Green, who's not our legal counsel.
Yes, and I've not received any of his emails this last week, so we're having a good week. And hopefully he hasn't received any of mine either. Thank you, Councilors, Mayor Lapine, for having us back again to speak about and bring an update on where we are with our COCC Madras campus expansion. I'm not going to spend a lot of time going through every slide. Most of these I just wanted to get in front of you as they show updated renderings that I thought you might be interested in viewing. Primarily, a couple quick things that we'd like to discuss tonight is one, again, show the opportunity to see the updated renderings, to keep you all informed about our current timelines for the project as they are quickly approaching to begin moving towards official groundbreaking, to share how far we've come in our fundraising efforts so far, and to invite you all, though you probably did receive an email from me yesterday, to our community open house event, which is next week on April 4th. Following me will be Ms. President Chesley, who is sitting to my right.
Lori Works.
And she would like to share with you and speak about the project from COCC's executive perspective and inquire about how the city of Madras might consider financially supporting the project. So with me tonight is President Lori Chesley, and also with us is Zach Boone, Chief Advancement Officer and Executive Director of the COCC Foundation. My name again is Jeremy Green, and I am the Director of the Madras Campus and serve the college as a Capital Projects Manager as well. With that, Kelly, and thank you so much, Kelly, for working with me to get these slides up and presentable. You can move forward to the next one. So by way of quick reminder, COCC is moving forward with the construction of a 24,000-square-foot building. This project is going to bring up to perhaps a little more, maybe just slightly less, 25 full-time positions. This is a combination of both the college and our child care partner, TCLC, the Children's Learning Center. The majority of these positions will be employed by the Children's Learning Center, though the college is making plans and is intending to hire both faculty and lab technicians for these additional programs. This expansion project is very partner-focused, community partner-focused. As I've mentioned, the Children's Learning Center, who will be providing up to 100 child care slots with the expansion of this campus. We are in partnership, formal partnership, as we have been for many years, with St. Charles, both Madras and the St. Charles system, with our health careers programs. But we also have been communicating with them and looking for ways to meld our program and their coming program, the rural residency program, which many of us have been informed about, that's on its way now into Madras. We're also continuing our partnership and through this expansion program, continuing to grow our partnership with 509J School District. And again, just want to recognize and say thank you to the Bean Foundation. We would not be able to be expanding our campus if not for their generous land donation. Again, just by way of quick reminder, the local degree programs that this project is focusing on is our early childhood education program. COCC has been delivering this program in Madras for several years now, though with this expansion, we're going to be able to deliver in a more robust manner and bring all of our degree and certificate programs within ECE to Madras. And this program, again, will be delivered both in English and Spanish. And we are the only campus that delivers it in Spanish in the COCC district. Nursing assisting, and medical assistant as well. Again, start to finish, students will be able to complete those degree programs here as part of this expansion project. And because our health careers programs require lab sciences, an addition of lab science facilities will be included in this project. With those listed courses, chemistry, biology, microbiology, anatomy, and physiology, which will be an extreme boost to our current COCC Madras students who currently have to drive to either Redmond or Benn to complete those science requirements. Our students, both in those specific programs and the general COCC student in AAOT or any other degree programs for that matter, will no longer have to drive out of Madras to complete their lab science courses. We'll just go through these renderings real quickly, primarily because I want to get President Chesley on the microphone here. This is an aerial view of what we plan to construct. In the upper right-hand corner is the picture of our existing building, about 9,000 square feet. You can see size comparison there. The new building will be 24,000 square feet. This will be the entrance to the lower level. The lower level is the Children's Learning Center and our ECE program area. You can see the buildings are connected so that this allows for student traffic to flow between building one and building two. It allows us to keep our support staff, current support staff numbers, where they are, allowing us to focus on faculty and lab technician positions. This is a picture. These are new renderings now of what the indoor facility will look like in the Children's Learning Center. A lot of folks like, the number one question I get asked about this project is, what is it going to look like? And so I wanted to share this with you. And I think the next picture is of a classroom, yes. So the Children's Learning Center staff has been part of the design team from day one. So we've been in design conversations on this building for about 18 months now. And their staff have actively participated in every single one of those meetings. So they have been able to design the facility space that they are going to be using for their specific purpose, both for infant, toddler, pre-K, and kinder care. This is a picture of the second story of the building. This would be where COCC students enter and exit the building. You can see, again, a picture of the connecting deck and outdoor plaza. And I think I showed this one last time I was here, but this is a picture of our health careers facility. Again, they mirror exactly that of St. Charles facilities. So as our students transition from the COCC programs right into the St. Charles employment, of which most of them do, they will go right into facilities that they've already trained in and experienced as a student. And then this is another picture of it's a small building. We're trying to be conservative based on budget, but this is a small student commons area in the new building. So our project timeline and funding. This week, actually Thursday, so get ready, Mr. Hurd and Mr. Sneed, our city and county permits will be coming in. Our vice president signed them yesterday, and they will be submitted by Opsis Architecture this week. And our CMGC Kirby Nagelhau Construction will be putting the project out for subcontractor bidding on April 1st. Our funding for the project continues to be at an estimate of $21 million. Now we know that price likely goes up, perhaps comes down, but we're bracing for it to move up. Once we get the subcontractor bids back, we'll have a more firm price, but as of the last estimate in January, the estimate for the building was $21 million. And as of today, we are 55 to 60% to goal on our fundraising efforts, which is a pretty big feat considering, as you know, we are funding this project completely outside of any bonds. Again, would like to invite you all, and you can check your email boxes if you haven't seen it yet. We are having a community open house at the campus on 4/4/24 at 4. That was Zach Boone came up with that. And we plan to have it's an open house, so come check out the renderings. A lot of COCC staff will be on site to answer questions. It'll be a good opportunity for community members to engage in the project. We'll have brief remarks around 5, both from President Chesley and program partners. I think, yeah, that's the invitation you should have received. So with that, I would like to turn it over to Ms. Lori Chesley and let her speak from her perspective.
Mayor Lapine, councilors, I want to also thank you for inviting us to come and speak with you tonight. Jeremy has the grasp of all the technical details of this project, and he has just been so great in that role and such a wonderful representative of this community and this work. In my mind, the Madras expansion project is sort of the perfect example of COCC's mission in action. And as part of a strategic planning process last year, we revised our mission slightly, and it is to empower students and engage communities through high-quality, equitable, and accessible lifelong education. The Madras Expansion Project empowers students. Healthcare and early childhood education programs train for good-paying jobs, and they also offer the possibility of a longer-term career trajectory for those students who might want to pursue education further. This project engages our communities. As Jeremy said, this project could not happen without the generosity of our community partners, in particular the Bean Foundation, who donated the land. And we know that this project has as much to do with the good work of the community as it does anything to do with COCC. Our programs are high quality. Our health careers and early childhood education programs are among our most highly regarded. We have excellent licensure and graduation rates, and our graduates from those programs are highly sought after by employers because of the reputation that we bring in those areas. This project promotes equity in that we will be serving traditionally underserved populations, the Latino community and Native American community. These student groups make up approximately 50% of the Madras campus student population. It also promotes accessibility. I think this one is probably the most obvious. It serves a rural part of our region that is hungry for more higher education. So the project obviously has a connection to our mission and our plans, but that's really the least important thing. Some of the most important things are that it directly addresses the critical shortage of qualified healthcare and early childhood education professionals we know we have in Central Oregon. Our college prides itself on being as responsive as possible to community needs and to employer needs. Finally, we can't deny that this project is happening due to some fortunate timing and circumstances. The donation of land that we've referenced, the availability of a variety of funding sources directed toward healthcare and childcare initiatives allow us to construct an entirely new building with some fairly costly equipment. We think it's the right project at the right time. It aligns our strengths and our mission with community need and support. Seems to me to be an almost perfect alignment. And so we wanted to share with you today an update and ask if you would consider financial support for our Madras campus expansion. And I know that either Jeremy or I or Zach would be happy, if you have some questions, to do our best to answer those. And thank you for your time.
When you say financial support, in what form?
Funding. We'd like you to send all your friends and relatives and take classes, but funding is what we're asking for.
Councillor Siebold, I spent the last couple of weeks meeting with both Kate and Jeff, as well as Will, coming up, brainstorming ideas of how the city might be able to support. And I think they might have some ideas as well. I know that just recently at the last council meeting, there was talk of leftover community ARPA dollars that the city was sitting on. And That was one suggestion that they shared.
Will, do you have a comment on this?
Well, I met with Jeremy, and we did talk about some different funding avenues. One of the requests that was had was their connection fees for their sewer is roughly $500,000. If Jeff, if you want to quote me if I'm wrong on that, I explained to Jeremy that there was no way the city could waive that fee, that the city would have to pay itself back from another general fund, basically, for that. The ARPA dollars that we discussed at our budget retreat, most of them are already allocated. It really would depend upon where the council feels this is a priority, and then I would work with the finance director to present some options for council.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe this is something we're going to need to talk about as a council. You know, if money grew on trees, of course, we'd be happy to help. But realistically, we are a pretty poor city, and we weren't able to basically fund all of our own financial priorities as far as everything we want to do in public works. So totally appreciate it, totally support the project. We are, unfortunately, a very poor city, so that's not a hard no, but this is kind of a big picture triaging of what can we afford, what can we not afford. So happy to include this in the mix as something that potentially we could support down the road. Overall, I'm excited you're doing this. I do have a question. I saw that it was 25 FTEs, which is great. If let's say plan A works out as you're hoping and you're able to build it on the timeline you want, when are you looking at construction? When are you looking at actually hiring FTEs, et cetera? Do you have, I know that's very rough at this point, but I don't know if you have like a plan A.
Jeremy knows plan A.
Yeah, plan A. And we might actually be on plan MNOP at this point, right, from a timeline perspective. We hope that the city and county permit process will proceed in a timely manner. We understand that that takes time. We also hope that the subcontracting bidding goes as we hope it will. And if both of those processes do, in fact, come as we are hoping, we plan to be breaking ground by the end of June of this year, 2024. We don't yet have a hard date set for open of the building, as that's a moving timeline, sort of depending on the subcontractors that are appointed for the job. But we are on track for a fall 2025 open at some point. Our hope was fall term of 2025, which would be September. But at this point in the process, we truly believe that we're looking more towards a late fall, early winter open.
And in order for that to happen, we'd need to begin doing not all of the hiring, but a significant portion of it, before we would open. We would need those staff before we could open.
Well, that's exciting.
Faculty in particular and lab assistants.
Yeah, that's amazing. As far as the budget aspect, yeah, I mean, I think we're just going to need to maybe stay in contact in the next, you know, fiscal year or two or three and see what, you know, can happen or not. A lot of it has to do with, frankly, our revenues, our property tax, et cetera, is a little outside of our control. So, but yeah, we'll keep the lines of dialogue open. I think everybody unanimously heavily supports the project. So we'll see what we can work towards in the future.
Super. Well, we appreciate your consideration and certainly weren't expecting any firm decisions this evening. We just appreciate the chance to share with you what we're doing, and we'd be happy to supply any other information as you're in your decision-making process that you might want to have. And thank you very much.
Can I make a comment? Go ahead.
Thanks for sharing. I appreciate you being here. And Jeremy also shared at the Kiwanis, and I wasn't able to be there that day, so I apologize. But I appreciate you coming in here and sharing, and I'd love to support the cause too, because I think it'll be a great asset in our community for our kids and for our grandkids and for generations to come. So thank you.
And also, I think it gives us another bell to ring in our community as far as convenience. The facility will be an asset to our town as far as drawing people here when they know that there is quality opportunities for education and workforce training, whether it be in the hospital or even childcare, which is highly needed at this point. So I think it addresses both ends of the spectrum, the higher paying jobs and not so much, but I just think that as a COCC student from auto technology back in the 70s, I appreciate the opportunity to see something like this come in Madras. So, thank you.
Thank you. And just a side note, if you wanted to speak with Jeremy another time or a little later, we're actually doing some automotive programming on the Warm Springs Reservation.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
So if you need a refresher, Gary.
No, I have 40 years of boat mechanics. I don't need any more.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is it Core 3 presentation now?
Okay. Does it matter? Okay. Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm Scott Acock. I'm the Community and Economic Development Director for the Central Oregon Intergovernmental Council. It's a mouthful. It's been a little while, at least since I've been before City Council here. So just briefly, COIC is your council of governments formed by the 8 cities and 3 counties of Central Oregon back in 1972. We do a whole wide variety of services, including providing transit service through Cascades East Transit. We, particularly my department, provides technical assistance to our member communities. Could be grant writing, could be grant administration, could be planning, et cetera, et cetera. We also, particularly the last 5 years, have been doing a lot of work administering external funding from the state, federal governments, COVID response, lately homeless services and facility funding through the governor's executive order. We also do a lot of work where we do what we call setting a neutral table. So there's a lot of projects we work on that are not our project. In this case, Core 3 is a really good example of that. It was brought to us probably 6 years ago by the emergency coordinators for the 3 counties as a need for the region. And at that time, the city managers, city administrators, and county administrators asked us to step in and set a table for all the public safety agencies in Central Oregon, as well as state and federal agencies, to work together on Core 3. So Administrator Ibershoff asked me to give an update on the project, so I am here tonight. I will go. I know you've been meeting for a while. I'll go as quickly as I can, but please just interrupt me with any questions, comments. Also, just as a note, the last slide I have is contact information. We are constantly meeting with interested parties on this project, so we can always follow up, come back, coffee, etc. Next slide, please. First few slides just kind of speak to why we're doing this. What's the problem? You know, obviously we have a very rapidly growing region. Here, as in elsewhere, we are also experiencing more threats from natural disasters and other shocks, particularly, of course, for us, wildfire on the horizon. We don't know when. Not only the region, but the state as a whole and all the Northwest is looking at the potential for the Cascadia subduction zone event. And Redmond is the kind of primary staging ground for the federal government in response to that, considering airports, transportation facilities, et cetera, are meant to be compromised and not functioning on the west side of the state. So we need a place to have emergency response and recovery operations. The state needs a place to continue state government functions. But for the most time, and we can go ahead to the next slide, thanks. Most of the time, that's not what this facility would be used for. It would be an integrated public safety training facility. So this is everything from your shooting ranges, your emergency vehicle operator courses, fire training towers, classrooms, etc. There was a feasibility study done back in, I'm going to say 18 or 19, by the University of Oregon, that identified that this was a key and growing need in our region. Our public safety agencies just simply didn't have the kinds of facilities they need to provide the required training or the desired training. And a lot of the desired training is that sort of interagency types of training where you have, for instance, a scenario where you have a major fire at an airport or a bridge going out or a major wildfire, and you've got a lot of agencies and different disciplines needing to respond together. And so this facility also will offer that. Next slide, please. And just this slide just kind of highlights that this has been a really extensive process of identifying what all, and a little bit later you'll see it's 28 agencies working together, what they all need and how can we meet them in what priority order. This is not proposed to be rebuild this whole thing all at once. This will take some time.
I have a quick question.
Oh, yeah.
I was just going to ask, is this modeled after like another state or anybody? Like, what's that? And how many people could we train per year? What's the training capacity of Core 3?
That latter question I'll have to get back to you on because I don't remember off the top of my head. We have a business plan that lays all that out, but okay. Thousands, I can say that.
Nice.
But in terms of the model, there are only a couple, maybe three or four similar models elsewhere in the country. We've been put in touch recently with about 3 to 5 other places that are looking at doing something like this because of these growing needs. There's a facility in Arizona. There's one in Alabama, Oklahoma, that are similar. But I can get some. I can just get you the business plan. It lays all that out. Okay. So I'll go ahead.
Here, no. I have a little bit of knowledge from my occupation. This would be really, really a great resource just from the Tri-County area, just from all the agencies, not just one discipline, but both law enforcement, fire, and EMS. It'll provide a great compound for all of that to be going on.
I mean, it makes sense. I see the synergy. For me, it's always good to understand framing, like, is this a revolutionary idea and we're trendsetters, or are we copying somebody else's best model and 20 other states have this? Helps me understand the risk profile and the reward ratio.
COVID kind of helped point it out too, where this would be kind of a good idea because it also serves as like a command center. So when we kind of pulled something like that together during COVID, when all the fire agencies, I mean daily, I was having to make a report on the status of my agency, and other agencies did the same thing, and that command hub was in Redmond at the fairgrounds. But this gives a much better environment or venue for that sort of thing because it has all the communications that you need in there, all the resources for response and that kind of thing in there. And its location is right by the airport where when FEMA resources come in, that's where it's going to be coming in at.
And I will note that when we did the business plan, what we were really trying to figure out there was, like I said, all these different agencies have interest and desires from this. What's the best way to provide it? In what order, priority order? And the firm that helped us with that is called RDG Group, and they have helped with, they kind of helped us with that model because it is replicating what they've done elsewhere, helped other communities do. So let's see, we can go to the next slide. This is actually, I've already covered all that. So the next slide, this is just a few few pictures of what it might look like. So this is an emergency operations center or an emergency coordination center. The next slide shows classroom. So basically, we're using it as classrooms, and then we flip a switch, and we've got communications, et cetera, to be able to support emergency coordination. Next slide, please. An emergency vehicle operator course, that's probably the number one need right now. It's just we just don't really have such in the region, certainly nothing dedicated. Folks are using different kinds of parking lots. Some of our members are using the Mount Bachelor parking lot at times, et cetera. And there's other things going on in those places, and they're certainly not controlled. Next slide, please. Phase one includes a fire training tower. That's not what you're seeing here, but just an example of different kinds of specialized fire training. So, next slide, please. So, we have a fully developed concept with all sorts of, imagine a campus with different kinds of facilities and props. And again, we needed to prioritize. So, what are we doing? Well, I don't know if I have a slide on this, but Deschutes County has dedicated 300 acres of land across the highway for this. We have a lot of space. The idea was what we've heard from everybody, including the state Department of Public Safety Standards and Training, DPSST, said plan for expansion. Because whatever your footprint you're going to get, that's all you're going to get. You're never going to get any more 50 years from now, et cetera. So plan enough space. So we're not going to fill it with these initial four or five things, but We have to do all the site prep, of course, get utilities to the site, environmental remediation needs on the site. Then there's the emergency coordination center slash admin and classroom building. There's the Fryer Training Tower and Burn Building, the EVOC I mentioned, and a small associated multi-scenario pad. Next slide, please. This is everything, though. There's like aircraft rescue and firefighting. There's an EMT lab. There's urban search and rescue. There's what they call a simunitions. Anyway, simunitions.
They're like small paintball gun.
Yeah. So you're simulating different kinds of conflict scenarios. There's even stuff, ODOT's really interested. They want to use some of the classrooms, some of the facilities, but also they just want some space to move dirt around with their heavy equipment. And there's also some wildland fire areas that have been set aside. Next slide, please. That's the campus. The stuff in dark blue is the phase one. And again, this is just across the highway, Highway 126 from the airport. You can see that sort of dotted line on the southeast corner. That triangle there, that's in the runway, whatever they call that, the runway zone. So we're not doing anything in there. That's fenced off and separate, but the remainder of the property you can see. Next slide. So I mentioned we have 28 agencies. They are primarily local, but also state and federal agencies. Next slide. Here they all are. Oh, I had some comments on that, just so you know. What we've done is, to date, we've just signed an MOU among all these agencies dictating how they work together. We're in the midst right now. You may have already seen it. I don't recall if it's been signed yet by the city. An IGA that kind of stitches them together a little more carefully, because we're dealing with bigger and bigger chunks of money and bigger decisions, and we really need to lay things out a little more clearly. The partners that provide funding each fiscal year for all the project development work we're doing, they get a vote at the executive council is what it's called. So you are represented by Chief Plummer. You also have, well, the community here more broadly has Commissioner Simulink and Sheriff Pollack and Chief Blake from Jefferson Fire and EMS. And Chief Blake's also a vice chair of the whole executive council. So there's a number of folks representing the community. Next slide. Where we're really focused right now is we're towards the tail end of all the land use entitlements. This, you know, very grateful to the, all the partners are grateful to the county for contributing the land, but it was outside the UGV. So that's always fun process to get it in. We had to do 9 separate applications to the city of Redmond and Deschutes County. We expect that to be, to get those entitlements this summer. Have met with potential opponents. They have no concerns at this point. I can't guarantee what that means, but we're feeling really confident. We are just about to pull the trigger on an owner's rep contract, because this is a pretty major construction project, and it's not something I've done before at COIC, so we just knew we needed some expert help. Immediately after that, we're going to be designing the initial transportation infrastructure that is required for the facility and building it. So we'll be designing it and then building it early next year. We are really leaning in right now to some more engagement with the state agencies. There were about 9, I think, on that list of partners, and they all want something from this facility, but we need to know exactly what they need and how they're going to help pay for it. We're also working with Lori Chavez-DeRemer's staff and herself. She came out for a tour, as well as Merkley and Wyden's staff on federal funding. Unfortunately, there aren't any really obvious, big, meaty, if you will, federal grants for this kind of facility, so we're kind of piecemealing it for now. We have received approval on the partition of the land, the 300 acres, and we'll be doing a land transfer agreement. And to this point, the group wants to build because they really want this to be a truly regional facility that has the decision-making made by the member agencies. So they want to build a new ORS 190 interagency group to govern and operate this. So that's like what COIC is. We're an ORS 190 interagency agency. Next slide, please. Almost there. Timeline, I mentioned summer land use, building our ORS 190 and our operating agreements, we're partitioning and transferring the land. We will expect to have not only the design for the transportation infrastructure, but all of phase one done, design and engineering by early in 25. In spring of 25, we're going to be breaking ground for the transportation facilities, start the site plan process. 24-25 is a major fundraising effort on our end. And then our current schedule is to break ground for the rest of phase one in summer of 26. So next slide. Funding. We currently have $10 million in the bank. It helps because of interest rates right now. We're actually able to use a little bit of that interest for some of the project development costs, but not doesn't cover everything. So 9.5 of that came from the state legislature. We got $500,000 from Oregon State Fire Marshal's office. We've got $750,000 in what they used to call earmark from the feds. And I heard that when the federal budget passed last Friday or Saturday, that another $1 million in earmark is coming through. We have the dedication of the land from the county. We estimating that initially it was appraised at $16.4 million, but it turned out 72 acres were zoned improperly. They're EFU, so we're going to reappraise it. So we're guessing 12 to 14 million. And then all the local folks have contributed around $700,000 in the project development costs. So we need about 20 to 30 more million to make all of phase one happen. Obviously, at some point, we're going to draw a line. We're going to value engineer back to what we can do in the short run and just keep this thing rolling forward. So there were a couple slides in here that I did not mean to include in your presentation because they were for Laurie Chavez DeReamer's office. Not the next one, though. This one's good. So, oh, go ahead. Let's go ahead back. Sorry. Yeah, there. So here's the different state agencies that are engaged. And this is, I mentioned that we are going to be working really closely with them in the coming months, anticipating a pretty big ask for the 25 session. And by pretty big, I don't know. But I've been socializing the idea of about $10 million, something in that range. And so I don't know that, you know, they've all been told not to put things in their budgets that aren't part of the governor's priorities right now. But either way, we're going to be working with them to, like I said, what do they need? How much is it going to cost? And then we'll probably be working with a local legislator to introduce a bill in the 25 session. So a heads up on that. Happy to, you know, talk about that any further. Next two slides were more around the federal funding, and I'll just tell you it's just rough. There's just not a good grant program for this, and there's few earmarks that are available. The accounts that are available just don't fit this. So last slide is just the contacts, and that's my team at the bottom. You can see the leadership of our executive council there, and again, always open to meeting with anybody individually or here at council on anything related to this project or, frankly, anything we do at CYC. So. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for sharing. Appreciate it.
Got it.
Okay, on to the regular agenda, Willowbrook Park Agreement. Jeff?
This is for development of the Willowbrook Park up there in the Willowbrook subdivision, basically. And we were given as part of the land use decision on roughly just under 3 acres. And we had installed the irrigation. And the goal was to that the developer, when we did this, that they would, when they developed it, they would plant trees and grass. Kind of fast forward, this all kind of took place back in 2020, 2021. Fast forward here, the SGS Development, who installed all the infrastructure, they cut us a check for $14,000 and said, here, this is what we came up with the value. We don't have time. You guys just take this money and go do it. The cost to actually put in a few trees and seeded it is around $50,000, so we're short. However, the housing developer who's building the homes, Monta Vista, they want this turned greener sooner than later. And they have said, hey, let's, how can we work together? And I said, well, I got 14, that's what I got. And they said, well, can we do something to come up with it? And so we came up with this idea that they would basically seed it, plant the trees, whatnot, we would cut them the four. We would transfer the $14,000 directly to them, and then we would credit them parks SDCs on the next 20 some odd homes going forward to cover the remaining $50,000 difference. And so that's what you have before you tonight is the agreement between us and Monta Vista for them to do that, and then they would just go and get it installed.
So it's kind of the city equivalent of a store credit.
Yes. Right. They get a credit to build it for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm in favor of it.
I move the council approve the Willowbrook Park Development Agreement with CloudCrest Homes, LLC.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? I waited for you that time. It's unanimous. Thank you. Golf course cart path. Jeff.
So this is also ties in with that same subdivision. As one of the conditions, the developer was to grant us $20,000 to construct a path, a cart path, on Desert Peaks to connect from the subdivision up to the clubhouse. And so they've given us the 20. We've gone out and gotten received bids. K3 Construction, they were the lowest responsive bidder. And so we're recommending that we go ahead and move forward and we can get this built actually this spring before golf season kind of really kicks off. So other than that, I'll just leave it open for any questions.
How long is this? I saw some data in here about square feet, but just curious roughly, like how long is this? Trying to visualize.
Yeah, what's the square footage? I can tell you in 2 seconds. What did it say?
15, this is grub path 15,840 square feet.
So it will be 1,584 feet because it's 10 feet wide.
It's almost like you just took a zero out.
Pretty much.
Very impressive. Without a calculator, too.
Yeah, I did that without a calculator. Pretty neat, huh?
I make a motion that the council approve the contract for the golf course cart path with K3 Construction in the amount of $49,925 and allow the Public Works Director to execute change orders not to exceed the total project cost of $60,000.
Second.
No motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Yeah, it's unanimous.
Thank you.
Thank you for being faster, Councillor Siebel. City vouchers, Kate.
Yes, this evening we are presenting the February 2024 vouchers. The first amount is an amount of $1,222,406. And then we also have P cards in the amount of $87,588. And we request a motion and approval of the vouchers.
I need to recuse myself as I may have provided services or goods to the City of Matters.
No. If there's a tie between you and Councillor Yoder, then I get the chance to say something.
Question for you, Ms. Kate. Is there anything that you want to highlight our attention to, like anything unusual or anomalies, or is this all pretty boilerplate standard modus operandi?
Nope. There's really no outliers in this month's vouchers.
I move the council approve the February 2024 city vouchers as submitted.
Second.
So I doubt there's going to be a tie. There's a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. It's unanimous. Well, kind of. Order setting the final hearing date, time, location, and second and final hearing date, and affirming the election shall not be held in the question of withdrawing territory from the Madras city limits. Nick.
That would be me.
That'd be Fatma.
Yes. So before you is the order setting the date of the second and the final hearing for the matter discussed earlier of the withdrawal of the city limit. It also set the date, which April 23rd, 2024, the time is 5:30 at the City Council meeting at City Hall. The order also affirms that the election shall not be held in the question of withdrawing the territory from the city limit. If we received any written comments prior to the final date of the public hearing, staff will seek directions on how to proceed forward. Please note that we're not recommending any elections, but if that were the case, we'll seek guidance on how to move forward. With that, staff is recommending the City Council to adopt the order as presented.
I move that the City Council adopt order number 2024-01.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous. Thank you. Memorandum of Understanding between the City of Madras and Madras Police Employee Association. Will.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Before you is a memorandum of understanding between the City of Madras and the Police Guild. It turns out that when Maria was hired as the evidence technician, she was not within the job descriptions or the job listings for the association, so she was excluded from it. The Guild has requested the city to include that position and the possibility of a future administrative assistant. And speaking with the police chief, this is the whole goal of it, is just to recognize those, one, the additional position, and two, to acknowledge a potential for a future position.
Comments?
Fair to assume then that our illustrious Chief Tim Plummer supports this, correct?
Yes, Councillor Siebold. He is on vacation, or he would have been here to bring this item forward.
I move that we authorize the City Administrator to sign the Memorandum of Understanding between the City of Madras and the Madras Police Employees Association.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? And that's unanimous. Yeah. Any other comments before going to reports? Hearing none, we'll start off with Councillor Siebold.
I don't really have much to report. Thank you all for everything you guys are doing. That's about it.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Yoder?
I don't have anything to report on the airport committee because we canceled that. There was not a quorum, so that got pushed off till later. Other than that, I don't have anything to report.
Thank you. Councillor Walker?
I don't have anything to report, except for I'd like to hear Seth's ideas on homelessness one of these days, so that... I'm always interested in new ideas because there seems to be no solutions. So good ideas can be implemented. No ideas can't be.
Well, I would second that also. Speaking out of turn here, sorry. But this was kind of interesting, being you brought that up, Gary. We had someone, a commissioner from Deschutes County, come up and share at the Kiwanis meeting concerning homelessness and things, and all the different things that they had used, she could not give us a straight answer whether they were effective. So that I found that very interesting. It's like an ongoing process. So
it's like that I forget what the team's called in Portland, but they pair a paramedic with a social worker, and that's not being funded. And the mayor said they're going to fund it, but he won't take a face-to-face conversation on it. But their controversy over it is that they haven't shown that to be actually effective. Yeah. So, interesting. Chief Plummer isn't here, so Kate.
Yes, my team's been working on month-end payroll, and door hangers and shut-off notices have been issued, so tomorrow's our cutoff date. We are working as a team diligently to put together the budget books. We're currently finalizing the budget proposals, the narratives, and hope to issue all those books to the MRC Commission as well as the Council on April 5th. So ahead of schedule is our goal. And as a team, we have a day planned to assemble all those books. We are also working on MRC and the analysis of that to bring that forward for a deeper discussion with the Council and MRC Commission after budget season, because we do see that we have a little time before we're fully expiring all of our credit. So that's pretty much it.
Thank you. Nick.
That'll be me again.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Fatma.
No problem. So two upcoming events just to keep on your radar. Next month, April 8th, we have a work session on the Housing Action Plan. And in May 13th, we have a work session giving you a status update on the camping regulation that the council approved late last year. Another update, Safeway has contracted with the business to collect off-site shopping carts, so we're seeing a significant reduction in the carts being collected by the city.
That's comforting.
And lastly, thank you, Michelle. We did a beta test for our online paperless permitting process, and we expect to go live in the next 2 to 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. That's it from community development, unless Nick has something to add.
All right. Well, thank you both. Public Works, Jeff.
We got some bids in today. So the Gila Base project, we got our paving bids back, and we got two bidders on that one. And so we're going through them, and then we'll have them on the agenda for the next meeting to recommend an award. Same thing for our city engineer. We got two responses on that one. And then this week we're issuing out our fuel RFP for Avgas and Jet A for redoing our contract up there. And then as well as 10th Street is going out to bid this week. And that's about it. So.
Thank you. I appreciate the photos you've been putting in your weekly report, too.
Don't thank me.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank the guys.
Okay.
It really is the guys.
Tell the guys I say thank you.
We had somebody wanted to be an overachiever and started adding photos. So then I teased them that said, hey, look, somebody raised the bar. And then they all started doing it. And
that's funny.
I didn't have to do anything.
That's funny.
It was awesome.
Michelle, anything to add? Thank you. Well,
all righty, good evening, live from the city of Seaside, Oregon. Councilor Walker, one of the sessions that we have on Thursday is on the homelessness and the Ninth Circuit Court and how cities are responding to it. So I'll be certainly taking notes and reporting back to all of you because you're right, it's a very complex project. I do want to give a shout out to Marco in the Community Development Department. He's done a phenomenal job. He and I met with Julio, the store manager at Safeway, and talked about solutions. So we're glad that Safeway is doing something with its carts. He's been very proactive with all the businesses in town, as well as working with Nick and Fama and others on moving the camping ordinance forward, because I know that's a question that many of you have. Secondly, I emailed out to all of you the strategic plan that I drafted based on a couple of different workshops and work sessions we had. So if you could please take a look at that. I'm going to give you a call next week and see if we can set up some time to review them. And then pay attention to your calendars because we are now thick into budget season. And we look forward to working with all of you and the budget committee with respect to reviewing, making any final edits, et cetera, to the fiscal year 24-25 budget. And one last thing. I'm speaking with Councillor Siebold, give him a shout out for this one. He helped me refine an idea that I emailed out to you that I would like to start in May called Bring It In on the Radar. It's just a chance for me to informally visit with all of you and talk through any projects, programs, ideas, concerns you have, because we obviously are going to implement your goals within the budget, but there are other things that come along And so please take a look at your emails. I gave you some suggestions and some topics, et cetera. And I look forward to working with all of you on that. So back to you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you, Will. And our counselor's not with us tonight, correct?
No.
Okay. Well, I wanted to shout out to our committee who heads up the Tomi City, Sister City project. We had 5 Japanese students and 1 chaperone come visit. Those of you, which was most of you, who missed out on our dinner Sunday night, really missed out on some great chow and some great company. So whoever put that on, thank you. That was a great time. I myself took on a 17-year-old Japanese student in my home. It was a great time. I lost at Uno to her, so it was it was war in my house, and I lost. It was horrible. But it was great interaction, great networking. I came out with a friend out of it. I can't say anything more about it. It was just a wonderful experience. And so if you ever get that opportunity, is, you know, it was kind of fun. We used Google Translate a lot. She was a little apprehensive about my overexcitable German Shepherd, but by the time she left, they were both kind of hugging. So it was kind of, it was a good time. So anybody have anything else before we close? If not, then we'll adjourn at 7:49.